Much to my surprise, not everybody in the world shares my opinion. I'm Boone Cutler. The following show is my opinion and only my opinion. It's all me. So what you hear is what you get, and if you got a complaint, send it to me, Boone Cutler. That being said, let's start the show. The time is now. The place is here. This is Tipping Point with Boone Cutler. Why am I here? Because I'm going to tell you the warfighter perspective. If you can hear the sound of my voice, guess what? You're talking to a warfighter. You better get to know us, America, because we're coming home in droves. Within the next 18 months, there's going to be a million of us on the street that have been fighting wars all over the world. And now we're going to be with you. We are the descendants of Sparta. We are true professional warfighters. That's what we do. We fight wars. We are the samurai society of this country. We will not assimilate. We will not be like you. We will be like ourselves. We will maintain our battle mind, because that's what it takes to win, and America has been weak. To the warfighter, I say, this is your rally point. This is your cop, your alpha alpha, your fob, your base. Stay with me. I need you. Let's get in step. 23 million people in America can make anything happen, and there are 23 million veterans in America. Typically, when they want a warfighter perspective on one of those big name shows, they're going to get Ollie North, maybe some retired general, give him 2 minutes on a social, national, international issue, and that's it. He's gone. He's done. 2 minutes. Well, I think you deserve more. You get the full measure right here, right now. This is Tipping Point. Hard luck of the devil with the grace of God on the level of eyes, and it makes you nod with the body of a sinner, mind of a saint. I'm everything you love, everything you hate. Hit a lot of curves, hard roads and hills. Got nerves of steel and watch time stand still. It took too long, but I stood my height. You can say I'm wrong, but you ain't right. It is Saturday, and it's time for Tipping Point Boone Cutler. I want to thank everybody for joining us. This is the Warfighter Perspective. It's the first time you're joining us. There was something put out on social media this week, and it basically said if you're a wussy with a P there, don't listen to the show. It's not your show. So if you're driving down the street right now, you're somewhere on Kitski, maybe you're somewhere over on Virginia Street, maybe you're on the 80, the 580. If you're a wussy, turn the dial. You're not going to like it. Not going to like anything about it. We're not that show.
Do I need to leave room then?
You're a wobbler. It's okay. Debatable.
Okay.
It's debatable. Stay for now because I need you.
It's that whole Air Force thing, isn't it?
Well, you know, the Air Force is not a bad thing. And that's one thing we got to talk about more often is that, right now, the ratio, if you're a combat veteran, the ratio is like 17 to 1. That's for every guy going out the wire, kicking a door, you know, bagging a haji. There's 17 people supporting that person. Well, I don't know about you guys out there, but I kicked a few doors. I've done some other stuff too. But I like to come back to the base. I like to eat. I like to have my vehicle serviced. I like to fly around. You know, I like that stuff.
There are actually cooks in Iraq?
There are cooks. Then they survive, unlike the Vietnam War.
Okay.
Remember that, everybody. There's no cook that ever survived the Vietnam War. Never met one. Everybody was in Cambodia and Laos, you know, working black ops with SOG MACV. But there were no cooks that survived. Most dangerous job in Vietnam.
Well, last time we had a live show, though, we did have somebody who admitted.
No, they said that my dad.
My dad was a cook.
And my dad was, and you know what? And that's an honest person. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
I like that a lot. We got a lot of announcements today, a lot of reminders I want to get to people. But before I'm done today, just so I can remind myself and let folks know out there, we're just kind of give a kind of behind the scenes what's going to go on. But we got this F Cancer video we're going to play a little bit later, brought to you by the one and only guys over at Article 15 Clothing, Matt Best, of course, and all the guys there. I mean, it's a team effort. Got to love them. And they brought on Matt's 12-year-old brother. Very interesting. Did you happen to see that?
I have not seen it yet.
Yeah, a guy who looks a lot like Matt,
mm-hmm.
but with no beard.
Oh.
Yeah. We'll just leave that there.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's okay. It'll grow back.
Absolutely, they grow back.
I'm hoping it grows back because America, Matt Best, for those that don't know, Matt Best is the, how do we say it? The master iconic figure of all things cool warfighter. That's Matt Best. And recently he had to shave off his beard in furtherance of charity and all this other stuff. And it's totally cool. Some of the other guys got tased and it was a fun thing to watch. But long story short, the cool, iconic, cool of everything warfighter, had to shave the beard. And
best to Matt for that. And I just, you know, here's what I want from Matt, because I know he's listening or somebody's going to tell him. Matt, when you grow up back, brother, give it some style, man. Just don't do the bushy thing like you should be walking around with some kind of bear on a leash, okay? Put some style into it.
Yeah, yeah. Shape it a little bit.
You can't grow it back the same way, because this is the beard in the next phase. You've had to shave it, so it's got to come back in a new phase. So just that's just my suggestion. My suggestion.
Braid it when it gets long enough. Braid it up.
I think maybe some cornrows.
Yep.
You know, right along the cheeks.
Yep.
I think that would be hot. That would be cool.
Maybe a little bit of color in it.
Maybe some color. You know, cornrows and color.
Mm-hmm.
I could dig that. That's different.
Mm-hmm. But can you maybe camouflage it up a little bit?
Maybe. No, don't do that. Don't do that. That'd be stupid. Okay, and we're also going to talk about Gorgo's boxes. We're going to talk about this last week, a couple weeks ago, video came out, BuzzFeed video, with me and some real cool guys. Like them a lot. And Marty Stovin was in it. Jerry Taylor was in it. Matt Sanders was in it. I was in it. And we're talking about the things that people don't tell you when you go to combat. Do we have time to play this real quick?
Yeah, we got time.
Let's play this, and then we're going to introduce James. Go ahead. And James is a tattoo artist, former Marine, warfighter here in the studio today. James, how you doing, brother?
Not too bad, yourself?
You know, I've been better, but I've been worse. You're still nervous, or you're good now?
A little nervous.
It's going away, right?
I wouldn't go that far.
Okay, well,
the pucker is still happening.
The pucker is still happening. Relax everything. Relax your pelvic floor. That's
what
doctors
really want. That,
yeah, but not too much. It is a closed room. Okay, let's play this BuzzFeed video. This is fun. People like this.
One thing nobody tells you about when you go to war,
that it's nothing like what they show in the movies or on TV.
You become closer to a lot of people, a bond that you'll never find anywhere else. And you'll share some chaotic times together.
The food. The local food is unbelievable.
Had really good Mongolian barbecue in Mosul. Had Girl Scout cookies airdropped to me in Afghanistan.
Yeah, in Iraq, I was introduced to geef burgers. Not sure if it was goat, not sure if it was beef. Might have been a combination of both.
By the time I was deploying, it was later into the war effort, and things were more established. There was one time I went in for a Christmas dinner, and they literally had an ice sculpture in the chow hall in Iraq.
I know nothing about sneaking in Grey Goose and bottles of water.
But I've heard rumors of people being sent Crown Royal in Listerine bottles.
I personally didn't have to sneak in alcohol because I was friends with the British soldiers.
When I was in Iraq, most of the movies I was addicted to were like kid movies, like Bring It, Stick It, 13 Going on 30, you know, things to lighten the mood.
We would go through a ridiculous amount of TV shows and movies.
It's like a switch. We go from discussing what happened on the most recent episode of the OC to executing a target and going on a mission. You have to wear reflective belts 24 hours a day if you're not out on a mission.
Reflective belts really don't save lives. I don't know where that idea came from.
And I don't know if anybody ever stopped and realized, like, wow, we are wearing a reflective belt in a war zone.
There is no shame in cuddling other dudes while deployed.
There's nothing gay if it's cold outside. As long as you don't make eye contact, everything's usually pretty kosher.
But yeah, I've definitely been involved in a four-way spoon before, to keep warm. It was not lost on me that I was the mayonnaise in a man sandwich.
I had the blessing to hang out with not only British, but Canadian troops, Estonian troops, Slovakian troops, Japanese soldiers. I would say, of the bunch, the Royal Irish were the craziest.
I suppose it's probably not too much different than like living in dorms or something like that, except with guys that are really alpha male type people and take everything to the extreme in both good and bad ways.
You know, you develop a relationship with those guys that's unmatched by anybody else. You know, you depend on each other for survival, for entertainment.
You know, there's good times, there's bad times, there's a lot of funny times.
You're just living your life, but you also happen to be at war at the same time.
I mean, like eating pizza bagels in the middle of a firefight, that stuff really happens. And in a war, the war part kind of becomes matter of fact in the middle of your life. I mean, you could be talking about the OC, you could be talking about movies, television.
And
you can really be having a good time in the middle of a lot of chaos, and it's the good time you remember, not so much the chaos.
And that's the BuzzFeed video right there. It's called, what's that say right there, Sean? I can't read it.
It says, five things no one tells you about going to war.
Five things nobody tells you about going to war. Pretty good video. They cleaned it up a lot. I mean, obviously, I was there for the recording of it. And let's just say they made it a heck of a lot more PG, PC, vanilla than what...
You're telling me there was some warfighter vernacular going
there was,
on?
There was some warfighter vernacular. Not so much vulgarity, but some...
I like the way you put it. It's descriptive language.
It's descriptive language, and some of the content was changed. Let's just say there was more than one topic of bodily functions that was discussed at that time. But for the guys that don't know, that video, because it was so cleaned up, the folks were – there's some people were and we knew this was going to happen. And I think Jared was one that said it. He says, you know, after they clean this up, they're going to think that we were hanging out on the base the whole time. That what people don't realize is that – let me see. Matt there was at the Haditha Dam. I mean, a lot of hooking and jabbing out there, Ranger. Marty Stoveland, you know, he also did the book Real Stories of the War on Terror. Stories of 75th Ranger Regiment. And Jared, he's a TAC-P. I mean, guy who's dropping big bombs for the Air Force. And then, of course, myself. So, yeah, those are all really no-crap combat veterans that we're talking about. The stuff maybe not everybody talks about. I mean, yeah, we can talk about the stuff. And we can talk about, you know, whacking Augie. But that's not what the video was about. It was meant to be lighthearted. But are we taking a break?
We're going to take a break. But, you know, I love the stuff you're talking about. Watching teeny bopper movies, I love that.
Yeah, well, I mean, honestly, it does. It was kind of a drug, you know. It's a little bit of escapism.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
And you know, they put feel good, happy themes in that stuff, and yeah, it works. I mean, I think I watched 13 going on 30 probably about three times a week just to kind of mellow out. But that's that. When we come back, we're gonna talk to James. He's gonna be giving me some ink. Let's talk about tattoos. Tipping Point, Boone Cutler. We'll be right back. And we be back. Let's listen to Sean's favorite song for a minute.
You're damn right we're going to listen to it.
Go ahead.
Flying the plane.
You're flying the plane. I know you just put me on mute if you don't want to listen to me. Go ahead. This is Soldier Hard. Imagine that. Imagine living life with no meds. Imagine someone never judging, always loving, but with four legs. Imagine walking through them large crowds. Imagine life hella happy, lifted up when you're feeling down. They right there with you. They will never judge. They'll never let you down. Yeah, always showing love. Always got your six. Yeah, they want to keep you safe. Sean's over here swaying like Stevie Wonder.
I got the cigarette lighter out.
It's a beautiful thing. Beautiful thing. Okay, let's bring that down. Let's get to some hard-hitting journalism right now. You guys, without further ado, first time ever on air, total Tipping Point with Boone Cutler exclusive. You've probably heard of him. He's world famous in the Reno area, especially like on Holman.
He gets all the way to Kitski.
He gets all the way to Kitski. And
maybe North Virginia.
I made it to Del Monte one time.
Okay.
One time. Okay. Never going back.
Scary stuff out there. Hey, we got James. And James, introduce yourself. You're a warfighter. You're serving the United States Marine Corps. Now you're doing some other things. We're going to do some stuff together. I think this is going to be a lot of fun. Talk to us about it.
I'm James. I'm a manager and an artist over at Golden Guns Tattoo. I'm a father of five and a cancer survivor.
That's cool, man. Father of five, cancer survivor. And right outside, who we got? Okay, we got this. Let's see who we can. Let's try and make this happen. We're gonna bring some folks in from outside the studio right now, and come on in here, roll. All right. Just jump over that. It's like a jump rope. There we go. I think we got enough microphones. Well, we can share right here. We got a set of headphones. I got another set over here. Let's get everybody on the board. But go ahead, have a seat. Go ahead, have a seat there. Here, take the seat here. I usually stand as it is. But we're going to introduce everybody here from Golden Guns, right?
Mm-hmm.
Golden Guns. We got Deb over there. Deb, why don't you grab that headphone, grab somebody's headphones so you can hear yourself. Introduce yourself. Tell us what you do and tell us about, you know, where you're playing these days, where you spend your time.
Hi, this is Diamond Deb. I own Golden Guns, and it's in Pyramid Shopping Center next to Scolari's, Yellow Sub. Great sandwiches there. We just do our things, clean some ink, and
this guy works for you, right?
He sure does.
He's a vet. He was in the military. Do you know that?
Right.
Didn't you know all those guys are crazy? I mean, I'm sure he shot the place up a couple times.
That's why she hired me.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, seriously, this is one of the reasons I want to bring you on, because a lot of people are afraid to hire veterans, to hire warfighters, because they think they're going to get crazy with PTSD and it's going to become a hostile work environment. But I don't know. Maybe you guys like that stuff there.
And she had me take over as manager, so she must enjoy it.
Okay. So I mean, really, in all seriousness, any problem, he's here, but I'll control him. I'm packing, you know what I mean? So settle down. No, seriously, any problems as an employee?
Nah. And we had another guy that was a vet, and I've never had an issue with any of them, you know?
They've seen the warfighter come out at me a couple times, but you know, it was just to regulate.
Yeah, it's kind of, you're a manager. Mm-hmm. It's being assertive.
Right.
Okay, it's more like clear communication is what I call it.
Yeah.
And so... So when we talk about these things, so you're not having any problem. Do you prefer, I mean, he's in a management position.
I do. They have that leadership, you know, that leads the crew in the right direction and keeps them, you know, they have things in order. And I like that. They like things a certain way. And in our field, you know, you need that.
So, because you have certain regulations, okay, and for you, James, if I'm not wrong, it's kind of like you set up your SOPs, you set up your chain of command, you have a flow of communication, make sure everybody knows what they need to know, and you just keep moving the ball forward. It's very clean, no big deal, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Okay, pretty much everything you learned in the military.
Yeah, nice and smooth.
I mean, we got Daniel Alaric out there. He runs Grunt Style. He's got like 80 employees, and he put them into platoons and squads. That's how he organized his business, like an infantry company. I mean, so this kind of stuff really, really does work. Let's introduce everybody else. Who else is in the studio today?
This is my husband, Bobby.
Bobby, play guitar in 7 seconds.
Bobby, I got to tell you something, man. When I saw you at the shop a couple days ago, I was like, that can't be the same 7 seconds it was around in the 80s, because he looks way too young to be in that band.
Yeah, I'm still the kid of the band, but we were in, let's see, 1986 is when I got in. I was 17.
86, you were 17.
Yeah.
Okay, for guys that don't know, punk band, right?
Punk band, yes.
Okay. Back in the day, TSOL, Adolescence, Toy Dolls, all that time frame, right?
Right.
Okay. Good time. I mean, I was totally, I left there and I was like, can't be the same band. And I even saw your tattoo, and I'm seeing the logo that's the brand is 7 seconds on your forearm there. And I was like, but he looks too young. I guess you had a hat on. I'm seeing a little bit of the gray now. But I really thought it can't be the same band. Because he looked too young. I mean, you look like you're 34, and you know, I remember that band from when I was a kid.
Yeah, I'm more like 44.
Sold your soul for punk.
Yeah, that's what happens.
Well, you're gonna like this, because we got some musicians on the show today. We got a bassist from Core. He's a Navy veteran, Doug Smith. He's gonna be on at 9:34. And we've also got Team I'm So First, a little bit of hip hop. Not so sure if you're down with that. You like hip hop? I mean, you do punk, but do you?
Yeah, I like all kinds of music.
You do, right? Yeah. So do I. I don't think this bad. And who do we have back over here? Young lady, would you please step up to the microphone?
This is my sister. She's an apprentice. This is Natalie.
Natalie, you're an apprentice at the shop?
Yeah. Yes, I am.
And what does that entail?
Abuse.
Drawing a lot of circles? No, I'm serious. Drawing circles and straight lines? There's a lot of stuff that goes on?
Yes, and also setting up the artists and breaking them down, preparing them for tattoos.
And tattooing a lot of bananas.
And tattooing a lot of bananas.
Say that again? That sounds like a punk band, tattooing bananas.
It could be.
It could be. Okay, so, no, seriously, you tattoo bananas to practice?
Yes, I do.
That's like simulating somebody's skin.
It's not the same exact as a person's skin, but it helps get used to the machine and practice my lines, keeping them straight and a little bit of shading.
And how long does one do this apprenticeship before? Is there a certification, like you're an apprentice for so long, then somebody signs off your hours? How's that work?
About so, yes, yeah.
Yeah? Just tell me, James, how's that work?
Usually,
I mean, what did you do?
It's till they're proficient. I didn't do it the typical way because I apprenticed on the internet. I have 5 kids and don't have the...
You apprenticed on the internet?
Yeah, pretty much.
Maybe you shouldn't do my tattoo. What is it, like Photoshop or something?
Just YouTube videos and everything. Just if you're really hungry, you'll find the information out there. And
again, a warfighter overcoming a situation, finding a way to make it happen, has kids, couldn't leave the house, and just figured you're going to get it done anyway. And now you're the manager of the shop.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Sean, what is it with America? They don't understand us, man.
Dude, that's how I got involved in radio, man. I'm like, I'll just figure this thing out as I go.
Wow. What did I do?
You walked into the right building at the right time.
I said, show me yours, I'll show you mine. Okay, and it all worked out that way because, honestly, that's how we get it done. And we just kind of, I think we live by our wits and we get that done. Tipping Point, Boot Color, I'm going to go to the break a little bit early, if you don't mind, and we'll get the room set back up. When we come back, we're going to have Anthony Farina and talk to the folks over at Golden Guns a little bit more about my ink. Tipping Point, Boot Color, stand by to stand by. We will be right back. And we're back. Tipping Point, Boot Color. Great in-studio guest today. We're going to talk a little bit about music. We're going to talk a little bit about things going on. Bobby.
What's going on?
Man, this is going to be great. We got Bobby here from 7 Seconds. He's a pro. Been around music. You said you're the youngest member of 7 Seconds. You started when you were 17, 1986, right?
Right.
That's huge, man. And we're talking about the punk scene in Southern California at the time. When it was really happening, the early 1980s, bands like Toy Dolls, TSOL, who else around that time that's really not so much around anymore?
Channel 3, Adolescence.
Adolescence, that's crazy, man.
They're still around, too. We just played with them recently.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's a little bit from back in the day. Ever seen the movie, I know we talked a little bit on break, Suburbia?
Yeah, I remember that.
You remember the movie? For those who don't know, try and find it. It's never been digitally remastered, but you'll see a lot of the different styles that are kind of mainstream today. They really came a lot from the punk movement. If you look back at that movie, Suburbia, for those who don't know, the guy Jack Diddley, this guy's character named Jack Diddley was in there. Also Flea from, what's that band, Red Hot Chili Peppers, when he was right. A kid. He's like 14. He was in that movie too. And really kind of cool. Check that out. It's called Suburbia. Right now, our next guest... Also musically inclined, Doug Smith, a Navy veteran, a bassist for the band Core. Did I say that right, brother?
You did, man.
Dude, welcome to the show.
How you doing, bro?
You know, I've been better, but I've been worse. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm doing good, man. We're currently up in San Francisco, enjoying a nice sunny day.
In Frisco, you and the band, you got a gig up there?
No, I'm up here for family right now, but... Yeah, we play up here sometimes.
Yeah, I'm listening to your accent. You sound like you're, what is that, Wisconsin or something? Just kidding.
It's Ohio.
Ohio?
Yeah, it's Ohioan.
You must be on the Kentucky side.
No, I'm actually northern. I'm up by Michigan, man.
Oh, but you were in the Navy, so you got that cross-reference accent.
Yeah, exactly.
That's exactly what James, you know what I'm talking about. You were in the Marines, right?
Oh, yeah.
You're in a squad bay with 50 guys. At some point in time, you all have the same accent.
Pretty much. After you leave Australia, everybody's Australian.
Yeah, everybody. You know, I call it the East Coast, West Coast redneck splack accent. Okay, it's East Coast, West Coast, redneck splack. It's an accumulation of everything. Hey, real interesting, James. You're gonna love this. We just happened to have in studio today, Bobby from the band 7 Seconds. Been around a long time. Guitarist, right, Bobby?
Right.
Man, I mean, you're talking about a band that has really lasted the test of time. We're gonna play your music right now. What song is queued up there, Sean?
We have queued up "Let's Rise."
You cool with that?
That sounds good to me, man.
All right, let's listen to it. Let America hear. This is Core.
Be lies and lies get you by. What's a mouse pretend? Sound out loud, no more silent content. Lies, either lies and lies get you by. What's a mouse pretend?
Bam! This is Tipping Point, Boone Color. This is the Warfighter Perspective. That is Navy veteran and bassist Doug Smith. Doug, how you doing, brother?
Good, man.
Dude, that song kicks ass, man.
Thank you.
Is that your favorite song that you do in the band?
It's one of my favorites, definitely. It's our closing song on our set live, and it always kind of brings everybody back around at the end of the show, you know?
I see you in the video, man. I mean, you got some nice little solo time in there.
Oh yeah, we try to, you know, give everybody a little turn.
I like it, Bobby. I mean, you're a pro, man. What you think?
It's awesome. I didn't know you could say the A word on the radio there, but that was definitely kick ass.
Did I just do that? Oh, that A word. Yeah, yeah. I just can't follow it with whole.
Oh,
well,
yes.
The word
ass is proper as long as you don't follow it with whole.
Like a whole lot of things.
A whole lot of things. Yes, yes. You can have a whole lot of ass, but you can't have an ass. You know,
a whole lot of it.
Yeah. Yeah. That kind of just goes like that. Like I could say ass and you can say
a whole lot of it.
There you go. And it works out. Okay. That's FCC clean. But right now you really picked that up. Yeah. You want a job? So Doug, man, how'd you go from Navy to a bassist?
Well, I fell into music when I was a teenager and it was already kind of present in my life, prior to joining the Navy. And, when I joined the Navy, I took a couple years off from music because obviously there was no time for that. And, you know, one day I was stationed in San Diego for my entire 10 years. And I was just walking by Sam Goody one day and saw, like, this bass package hanging on the wall. And I was like, man, I want to play again. It's been, like, 3 years since I played. So I picked it up. And next thing you know, like, one of the guys on the ship jammed on an acoustic guitar. We started jamming. And the next thing you know, I'm in a band. And then next thing you know, now we're, like, touring the West Coast and getting radio spins, and it's growing into a monster.
No, that's crazy, man. I like it. I mean, when I got the hookup here, when we got you scheduled, I was like, okay, Doug Smith, pretty mellow name. He's in the Navy, pretty mellow bassist, you know, probably got a nice groove. And I pulled up the song. I was like, whoa, this guy's got some pent-up frustration.
Yeah, we like to deliver the special packages, you know, man. We like to, like, be undercover and in disguise. We just, like, got to kind of blend in with the normal folk, and then we get our 45 minutes on stage where we can just be and do whatever we want.
And there's some commonalities here. You kind of started playing music when you were young. Bobby, you tell me you started a band. You were in the band 17, right?
Yeah, I started playing guitar about 14. I got my first guitar, and
it was over.
It was over.
That's the first love affair.
That was, like, exactly what I went through.
That's cool, man. That's cool. Maybe you guys can hook up sometime. And for those that like the band 7 Seconds, right about at the end of the 10 o'clock hour, we're going to play some 7 Seconds. Bobby, what's the name of that song?
Leave a light on.
Leave a light on. So we're going to have that done, and obviously we're going to abuse Bobby for all the celebrity that we possibly can, and play his and play his song. Doug, where does the band go from here, bro? And before we get off, man, this is very, very important. We talked to people about the warfighter perspective. We got James in studio today. He's a warfighter. Now he's doing tattoos. His boss is in studio saying, hey, the guy makes it happen. He's good. It keeps everything together. You know, he doesn't – he's it's not all that, that PTSD phobia really doesn't need to exist. Warfighters do a great job in the civilian world. You're doing a great job with music, but what about being a warfighter made you a better musician?
Oh man, being a warfighter has made me who I am today. You know, the just resilience and ability to get things done, the mission that you like to state, and just keep people lead, man. I'm a leader. That's what I do.
Leaders lead. It's an amazing thing. Doesn't matter if you're in a band. Doesn't matter if you're working at a tattoo shop. Doesn't matter if you're on the radio. I think that's why America's really afraid. I think it's got nothing to do with PTSD phobia. I think they are just completely paranoid. And they're so used to being sheeple that when they see a leader, they crap themselves.
Sheeple. Sheeple is my new word. I'm stealing that from you.
Oh, well, don't give me credit for it. I think I stole it from somebody else. But you see what I'm saying? Do you see kind of people?
It's true.
Yeah.
Absolutely, man. And people are terrified because we're coming back, and we're coming back tenfold, and we're coming back stronger than when we left. And this country needs to be taken back, man. And the only people that can do it are the ones that can lead. And that's who we are.
I couldn't agree with you more. You can't save the country until you save the American warfighter, because only the American warfighter can shrink the size of that aisle and get the ego out, put ethos in, and keep their ethos before ego. This is Tipping Point Boone Color. Stand by to stand by. We'll take a break, and we're going to come back with Doug Smith.
Try to keep us running and running faster, but I ain't running from you, I'm running at you.
The American Warfighter. You don't even know us. So let me give you a little bit of introduction right here, right now. First of all, we do not intend to follow. We intend to lead. We intend to seize power. We have taken over countries on behalf of the American government. Don't we have an obligation to take back our own country on behalf of the American people? We are the Samurai Society. We are the descendants of Sparta, and we've come to lead. Right here, right now. We will not assimilate to a failed culture. Did you hear me? We will not assimilate. That's right. Do not assimilate. We infiltrate. We educate. But we do not assimilate. What you think about that, Doug? You think we should assimilate to a failed culture? You think maybe we should just kind of seize power, make it happen, get everybody to the other side of the wire?
Yeah, that sounds good to me, man. Let's do what we do.
Let's do what we do and get it done. We don't got to talk about it. We just got to be about it, brother. Hey, what's right. coming up for the band, man? What can we look forward to?
Well, we're actually in the studio right now finishing up vocal tracking, and we'll have some mixes done here by the end of May. And we have four songs that we're finishing up right now. We got one single that's already been out, so we'll be releasing five songs by the end of May. And then some touring, man. We're going to get on the road and play some shows. And we're going to get over to Europe in September. So we're planning a little three-week excursion over to the European Union. And we're going to go play some shows for them people over there.
Man, sounds like a deployment, except with beer and microphones. Sean Patrick, what's your question, bro?
Hey, Doug, I always got a question. I always love to ask this of musicians. What are the process do you like more? Do you like the creativity of the writing the songs, the recording the songs, the mixing, or do you like getting up on stage and letting it all hang loose?
Each of them has their separate glories. Man, that's a hard question to answer.
That's why I asked it.
Oh my gosh! Look, he's the ball buster this morning. My goodness, yeah. You've been hanging out with Gunny Big Nuts.
You know what? I've been thinking about Gunny Big Nuts. That's why I had to come strong today.
Okay, that's my dad. We'll talk about him later.
Personally, man, you know I'm not one of the musicians that can like read music. I can read music if you give me some and I sit down and like kind of figure it out. But I can't sight read. I'm not classically trained or anything like that. As most people say, you know, all the classical musicians and jazz like. Musicians, you know, they don't like rock bands because we're like the failed musicians. Like, I'll just go be in a rock band then. Well, I'm a live player, so I kind of grew up, you know, playing in bands on stage, and that's kind of where I get all my experience from is from stage. You know, obviously we practice, and I sit in my room and I practice, and we practice in a rehearsal room together, and then we go and record and stuff like that. But from the heart, I believe I'm definitely a stage musician, and I'm a performer. I like to call it a jester. I'm a jester. I like to wear my big old floppy shoes, the bells on it, my hat.
like nutrition people.
Okay, so it's about the performance. Let's get that from Bobby. Bobby, what do you like better? Is it the creative process behind the scenes, or is it like, boom, in front of the stage?
I think, like he said, the whole process, it all has its own little things. You know, like when we were just recording last year, I took a train to Bakersfield and went on from there to Lebec, and we have a little house out in the Hell's Half Acre studio that we recorded at, and that just the recording process was so awesome, and taking trips and then touring for it. You know, we went to Russia for our first time last year, and going through the process of that was pretty amazing. And just so playing live, I guess, is the ultimate thing. I become a whole different person. I don't even remember being on stage most of the time.
You know, that's crazy.
You, like,
you know,
black out, man.
You're the same way, Doug?
Yeah, man. You go up on stage because that's what you're supposed to do. Like, you're not, if you're going,
it's surrendering, right? Surrendering to whatever message you're putting out. Is it?
You're not supposed to think about what you're doing, man. You're just supposed to play your instrument and let it flow out of your body and let it happen.
Definitely.
I don't know if it's the same thing, but I do the same thing when I do speaking engagements. For those that don't know, I don't take notes. I don't work from notes. I literally just work off of a theme. I'm kind of freestyling the whole time I'm up there. And the show is the same way. I never even know what the show sounds like. I have no idea what goes on with the show until I hear the playback. So I don't know if that's – I thought that was a brain injury thing. Maybe it's a creative thing. Sean, you didn't bust your melon. So do you remember the show after it's done?
You know, I do 3 hours a day, Monday through Friday, and a lot of times I punch out of here at 6 o'clock when I head on out of the building and head home, and I totally detach from all the stuff that I talked about. And somebody will say something to me, you know, that night, hey, you talked about this in the show today. I'm like, I did? Yeah, I totally forget it.
I guess that's the zone.
Yeah, it is definitely a zone. It's like a sports game. I always like, sometimes like the playoffs, sometimes.
Yeah, you know, it's the focus.
Those are awesome.
The way I look at it is, go ahead, Doug.
You know, not to relate it to like war fighting, because it's not quite the same thing. You know, you're not in danger and things like that. But when you're doing a mission, you're in the zone, you're focused, your eyes are on the prize, and that's your goal, man. And that's it. And when you go up there, regardless how you feel mentally, if you're sick, if you didn't pray that day or whatever your deal is, you still have to get the mission done. So the job is to walk up there, do your job, and then leave it.
Yeah, I think I kind of agree. Tattoos, is it the same thing? I mean, do you have a zone for tattoos?
Well, I've had this conversation with Bobby before about, as an artist, you sit there and you work on a piece and you love that piece. I would consider it similar to being in the studio. Uh-huh. But the difference with an artist is by the time you get to the end of it, you hate that piece. You just want to be done with it. And I couldn't imagine doing that same piece over and over every night. Yeah.
Oh, that's a good point because, yeah, okay. This is a good one, Bobby. Since you were 17 years old, you probably played the same. What song have you played like every gig since you were 17?
Young Till I Die, 99 Red Balloons. Oh my God.
Are you done with it? I mean, is it just kind of like automatic? It's like breathing, or is it like I'm tired of this?
No, it's great to see like the kids' face light up, and you know when you go into those, it's like, oh my God, they're playing that, and you just feed off it. And you know, sometimes, like right now, in this state of mind, I could think, like, God, I got to play that again. But when you're on stage, like, my other half person takes over. I don't know what it is, but it just goes, and it's awesome. And we just try to make it better every time we play.
And that's a good point. It is for the crowd. I think you got to have that. I mean, who could go see Robert Plant and not expect to hear Stairway to Heaven?
Exactly, yeah.
I mean, you couldn't.
Well,
right?
and that's a good song. And when you write a good song, you should be able to play it till the end of time. Like it's a good song. So that's what defines a good song from a bad song or a hit. People call it a hit, you know.
How long are you going to be doing this for, Doug?
Till I die.
It's kind of that's the way it happens. Bobby, could you do anything else but this?
No.
No.
No, except with my wife and be a co-owner of the tattoo shop, but.
right.
Yeah, but he doesn't look like he can sell insurance.
Yeah, no. I don't see it. I don't see you over at Safeway.
No, I have all kinds of musical projects going. I do smooth jazz. I play in a band called The Orbiters. It's blues rock, like a Bay Area style, and just stuff to keep playing. I play as much as I can. So when I'm not on tour, I'm doing stuff at home.
Do you have different projects, Doug?
Yeah, man. Same thing like Bobby was saying. I went to, when I got out of the Navy, I went to school and got a degree in audio engineering production. And it's a piece of paper, but obviously that's what.
Oh, wait. You can't go to college. All veterans are idiots, man. We live under bridges and are strung out on heroin. Didn't you know?
They didn't like me very much.
Yeah. That's what America thinks about us. They're nuts. They're crazy. Wait, brother, I got just a second, man. Give us a plug, man. How can people find out about your music and find you online?
Our website homepage is corebackstage.com, QUOR, like liquor without the LI. And then we got a Facebook, facebook.com/coremusic, as well as follow us on Twitter, at coremusic.
Go check that out, guys. And for those that missed it all, check out Tipping Point Boone Cutler on the Facebook page and the Facebook group. And that's where you can find it. Thanks for coming on the show, brother.
Hey, man. Thank you guys for what you do. I appreciate it. I'm sure we'll talk soon.
Let's talk again real soon. All the way. Make it happen. Tipping Point Boone Cutler. We're going to take a break. Come back with some more music. And Cleo DeLoner, the author of Trigger Pieces.